because there's a stuff going on. I will say this already. I miss J. Smith.
Yes, me too.
And you're sitting where he normally sat. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the Epistle to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to read like the first eight verses. And hopefully speak to you from them. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Y'all come on in. We're not that formal. And there are some seats over here if you need them. This is Paul's letter he did as he was told. This is Paul's letter to the Philippian believers. It is addressed to all the saints at Philippi. Now, the people here know, but most of you people who are visiting don't know, I am not very comfortable with the title saint. Now, there's a reason. I was born and raised Roman Catholic. And I've seen all the pictures and all the Bibles and all the paintings on the wall. And you'll see that picture, and it's kind of almost like a stick figure of Jesus. And then the guy's following along behind him, and they have these little halos above their head while they're walking. Well, no, they were regular people. Jesus Christ is God. He was God when he was here. He was born. God manifest in the flesh. But they have this title and this connotation that goes with it that they have, I don't know, confiscated, appropriated, and that is what the general world thinks of as a saint. Paul is writing here to the saints in Christ Jesus. This is believers. People who believe Jesus Christ and believed his gospel and followed after Christ and heard the words of the Apostle Paul when he was there. This is not academic. Paul the Apostle knew these people, and that's who he was writing to. Now, the great blessing for us is the fact that anything written for just about any saint is applicable to all saints, if it's the truth of God, which this is. It's as much written for our benefit as it was written for theirs, because the truth in it is still the same today. Now, no matter how I think about it, the word saint, when you look at it, according to the definition, is sacred, consecrated, and it actually means holy. Now, it doesn't mean perfect, but it does mean holy, separated unto God. So, if you are in Jesus Christ, if you believe Jesus Christ, you are a saint. But you do not have to call me Saint Joseph. That's right. I remember them baby aspirins. I'm old enough for that. Thank goodness for Saint Joseph. And I just look at my mom and smile. This message is to all the saints. Not just the strong, not just the weak, not just the old saints. He addressed it to all of them. Because all saints are in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you're not a saint. Although I do prefer, and probably will use from here out, the word believer. It's just my way. Sorry. But that's the definition of who this epistle was written to. Believers. And if you don't fit in this category, Paul's not writing to you. It is that simple. This is not a message for unbelievers. This is a message to believers. But hopefully you'll read it and believe it. That's the thing. And they are at Philippi. Paul had been there and wrote these people this letter to encourage, to rebuke, to exhort. But here in his greeting, which I dearly love, he starts off saying, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace to you. But it's not from Paul. It's from God. That's the only place. The only place grace and peace come from. It comes from the Father, the giver of gifts. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. I can't give you grace or peace. Right. I can't. It's not possible. But here's the point that I want to get to today. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. As I said, this is not academic. Paul was writing to people he knew. He had met. He had talked with. He had preached to. And who had believed his message. This is scripture. I mean, what Paul's writing here is the truth of God as it is known. And it agrees with every other scripture in this book. Whether we know it or not, whether I understand it or not, the Old Testament is full of what was going to happen when Christ was coming. It was full of what had happened while he was here, and it was full of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, it happened in the New Testament, and we're looking back upon what Christ has accomplished. But Paul writing here, thanking God for remembering these people. So it's valid for us to thank God on remembrance of the saints of God. Now I'm going to say something obvious, which is not the first time. But you can't remember somebody you never knew. That may be simple, but it's true. Paul was writing of people he actually knew. And I don't know the saints of Philippi, but I know the people here, at least most of them. And I knew Jay Smith. And I thank God for the people that I have known who believe God's word. Now, I am 55 years old. Next year I will be 50, next month I'll be 56. But I will probably call myself 55 for the next 2 years because I like that number. And I remember meeting a lot of you about 3 decades ago. And I remember very well my first meeting with Earl Cochran, who was our pastor here, and at Mapscott before here. And in that meeting, Walter and I went up to his house. I'll tell you how I met Walter one day. That'll be another story. We got to Earl's house, and him and Matthew, one of his sons who's not here, were out in the back on the side of the house shooting black powder rifles when we walked up. We heard gunfire. So needless to say, we were somewhat taken aback. But we came to find out Earl didn't know we were coming because his wife Uni hadn't told him. Because generally on a meeting between people even of like precious faith, there's a little bit of trepidation because you don't know what you're walking into. We had a conversation with him on the phone, good conversation. Walter had a conversation with him on the phone, good conversation. But you still don't know what you're getting into until you actually meet someone. Luckily, it went very well. He brought us into his house. He changed out of his bib overalls, I think for our benefit. And we had a talk. His wife was there. She talked. We talked. David and Rid came. Jack and Ellen came. Neil and Edie came. And Matthew was there. The whole family. Now, luckily, they didn't gang up on us. They just did it 2 at a time. But still, 30 years later, I've got that in my mind, and that was one of the best days of my life, because we did meet someone of this like precious faith. Through Walter, I met his family. I was dealing mostly with you. I didn't know Roy believed. Paul come along. We've seen people come and we've seen people go also. But this assembly is still an assembly. Earl's gone on. His wife Uni's gone on. Penny, your mom. Mason, your mom and dad. And now Jay Smith. And I thank God for my remembrance of those who have gone on and gone home. He sat right there, Jeannie, and I will tell one story about Jay Smith. One story, that's all. Because it was just a couple of months ago, one of the last times he was here. Maybe 3 or 4. I lose track of time. And we were speaking in between the sermons, which we did. And he looked at me and he told me, he said, "Joe, I've been listening to some of your sermons on the internet, the early ones." And so immediately I got scared. It's just the way it works. Nothing about Jay. It just bothers me when people say that they've actually heard me on the internet. It's just And it's weird being on the internet, and I still haven't looked at our Facebook page, so it doesn't matter. But I knew Jay. And so he said that, and he waited. And so I looked at him, I said, well, what about it? And he said, well, you got better. I said, thank you. I was hoping that part was true. He said, now everything you said before was the truth, but you have gotten better. And I appreciated that. Because Jay paid attention to what went on here. Jay was interested in what went on here. Because verse 5 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The fellowship that is in the gospel, the fellowship of the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Lord, never ends. If it ends, the problem's with you. Not with God, not with Jesus Christ, not even with his gospel. It's called everlasting, eternal life for a reason. And that's only because it is everlasting and eternal. I believe Jay Smith is going home.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm jealous of him for that fact. But he earned it in his own way. Because he believed God by the grace of God. And he would tell you that to your face, that it was only through his grace, God's grace, Christ's mercy, and the working of the Holy Spirit that he believed God. Our fellowship is written here in the gospel. And the word fellowship means partnership. Partners together. Paul the apostle did not separate himself from the flock of God, even though he was a shepherd. A pastor, an apostle. He was joined in a partnership in the gospel with these people at Philippi. And that, I believe, is what we have here. The other meaning of that word, literally, it means participation. Now, Walter, I was listening the other day on driving back and forth to work, and you did a real nice thing on the gifts. How God has put us in the body where he wants us.
Yeah.
And the hand's not supposed to be jealous of the mouth, the ear's not supposed to be jealous of the eyes, the foot's not supposed to be jealous of the hand, because the hand can't get anywhere unless the feet take them there. God has put us where we're supposed to be. And where we are is where we are. And Jay Smith was right there. And for some reason, I'm right here. Later on, Walter will be up here. And you all are all right here, right now. This fellowship, this partnership, this participation is in the gospel. We're all different. Every one of us here is different. But by the grace of God, there is only one Jesus Christ. and that is the one with whom we have to do. That is the one with whom everyone has to do. The definition of the gospel is good news. It's good news. It's good news of, about, and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His coming, his birth, his life, his works, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The gospel is what Jesus Christ came to do, what he did, what he accomplished. Not what he tried to do, what he accomplished. The religious world around us, and it is immense. There's no other word for it. It is immense. The religious world around us says, do. Now they may say many different things of what you're supposed to do. But the gospel says, it's done. Bruce Crabtree's absolutely right about that. The difference between our gospel in this book, and the gospel preached out amongst the world, which is not another gospel. It's not a gospel. It's not good news. Because anything that has anything to do to depend upon my works, I'm in trouble. Because I've got no good works. My best works are filthy rags in God's sight. But the difference is two letters, N-E. The difference between do and the word done. Jesus Christ hath obtained eternal redemption for us. That's another epistle that's written to people who believe. He has obtained it. He lived a perfect life. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He was made sin, who knew no sin. He became sin for his people. He took upon them their iniquities, their transgressions. That's why he was smitten, stricken of God. That's the way the world saw it. And God did forsake his son on the tree. Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook him because he had made him to be sin. It had been promised, I said, in the Old Testament. But it had to actually happen in time. Those sins, all of the sins of all of his people, had to be punished. Or in the case of redemption, paid for. That's what redemption means. And he either paid for them or he didn't. Because I'm going to tell you this, paying for most of them is not going to help you. I've heard that for decades also. People will sing the song, Jesus paid it all, and then they'll get up there and they'll preach that, well, he did the best he could. Now it's up to you. That ain't the way redemption works in this book. That's not good news. That's not the gospel. Jesus Christ was and he is perfect God and man. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day, also according to the scriptures. He was seen by the ones he wanted to be seen by, and nobody else. And only when he wanted to see him, wanted them to see him. Jesus Christ ascended to the Father, and he will come again. That's the gospel that we preach here. Yes. And that's the gospel Jay believes.
Yes.
And that was the fellowship that we had.
Yes.
This fellowship is in the Son.
Yeah.
That's what the scriptures say. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. It continues. It is eternal life. And we believe every day. Now, some days are better than others. I will be the first to admit that. And I have my doubts about my own self. Because I know myself. I know what's in me, what's in my flesh. It dwells no good thing. But luckily, if you want to use that word, now, blessedly, my faith is not in myself. The faith that I have is the faith that God gave me. And that faith is in His Son. And in Him, I have no doubt. Hebrews wrote it, I quoted a minute ago. He hath obtained eternal redemption for us. That payment is paid. When he said on the cross, "Tetelestai," it is finished. I like it. That's what they used to stamp on bills back in the old Roman days. Paid in full. That means I do not owe anything. That's the gospel. I don't owe a thing. And if you're one of His, you don't owe a thing. Because He paid it in full. Jesus did pay it all. Paul reinforces this, being confident of this very thing. This thing to be confident of. He. Not you. He. Jesus Christ. God the Father. The Holy Spirit. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform. Now, the little word "it's" in italics, you can leave it in there. We'll perform it. That's fine. I like, he will perform. He will perform. Until the day of Jesus Christ. If he's got you, he's going to keep you.
Yes, he will.
I can guarantee that with a book. You don't have to take my word for it. Matter of fact, I would prefer that you would take the book's word for it. Paul, the apostle of God, whom Jesus Christ appeared to, who knocked him off his donkey, and spoke to him personally. He said, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform. I believe Apostle Paul more than I believe myself. I believe his word here. And this is the gospel we preach. And this is the gospel Jay believes. And this is the gospel that we have our fellowship in, and I had fellowship with Jay. And there is no other gospel. I'm sorry. There ain't no other good news. You know, if you could add to this gospel, I'd be okay. Make it better. Let's put it that way. But everybody seems to take away from the work of Christ.
Yes.
From the accomplishments of Christ. From what he done. Bad English. What he did. And what he is doing now.
Yes.
because even now he is calling out his sheep. And they'll hear this gospel. And they'll believe it. And if I get a chance to meet him, we can have fellowship in him. And that's all we can do here. Our fellowship is with one another, but it's in Christ and nowhere else. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place. And thankful that you have gathered us to hear your word and to believe your gospel. It's all due to your grace. It's all due to your mercy. It's all due to your will, your purpose, and your choice. But you have given us the faith, and we do believe. And for that we are eternally thankful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.